It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Well, happy Saturday, everybody, and I hope everybody out there had a fantastic Thanksgiving. I know our crew did. This is the Mark Lloyd Show. I'm Mark Lloyd. Of course, I'm always joined by two very, and I say this in the nicest possible way, fat and happy co-hosts, Terminus Eric and Seminole Bill. Hey, guys, do not get offended because we're all fat and happy right now for several reasons. One, we're all very thankful for everything that we have in our lives. We are all very thankful for all the food we ate. But most importantly, we're thankful for what's going to take place today in college football. Am I right, fellas?
Oh, yeah. I think the fat and happy, I can work with that. Definitely. As I sit here and munch on leftover turkey.
Yeah, exactly. And Terminus has a turkey leg in his hand right now, and he's hitting the buttons with the other one. Am I right, Terminus?
You're absolutely right.
I thought you were talking
absolutely
about his
leg. Right. He's, yeah. But you know what, though? We do. We have. You know what we're also thankful for, guys? We're thankful for all the people that listen to this show each and every week, and we always do appreciate that.
Absolutely. And don't forget, guys, you can join us indirectly. You know, hit the website, marklloyd.com, marklloydshow.com, the Twitter account at marklloydshow, and also I guess they could come up and hit us on Facebook, right? Mark Lloyd Show. We can get them all the ways there and get involved that way.
Yeah, absolutely right. So that's how you get in contact with us. But you know what, Seminole Bill, enough of the chit-chat. We have to get into it because it is rivalry weekend. It's a giant weekend in college football for all the teams out there as they go up against their arch rivals, including your Florida State Seminoles as they get ready to take on the Gators. And boy, I have some fantastic stats out there. What a run Jimbo Fisher and the Florida State Seminoles have been on in the state of Florida. We'll go into that in segment two. Segment three, we will get into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who's led by a Seminole, and famous Jameis Winston, a team with five victories now. They pick up another one last week in a game that where Winston was playing lights-out football up in Philadelphia, and now they get ready to go to take on a 5-5 Indianapolis Colts team that's playing without Andrew Luck. And then, of course, in our final segment, we will talk on, we'll get some of the Seminole Bills predictions on the rest of the NFL action. And we will get into our entertainment segment, our fitness tip, our water check, and our entertainment segment. Giant news that happened in The Walking Dead. And we will say it, we'll tell everybody right now. Spoiler alert coming. Big news coming that happened on the show last week. If you do not watch it, if you DVR'd it and you haven't had a chance to watch it yet, not our problem. We're telling you in about 45 minutes we're going to be talking about that show. And some big news that came out of it. First, Seminole Bill, before we get into the matchups, I really don't want to get into the playoffs and where everybody's ranked right now because it doesn't make a difference too much. But we're going to talk about some of the matchups. I'm going to get your thoughts on each one of them. But before we get to anything, the whole LSU Les Miles situation, because it does have a Florida State twist to it, where LSU's got blown out again. And, you know, there's all kinds of talks that the higher-ups, the people that really run the program, that run every college campus, is the boosters with the big money, they're going to want Les Miles out after the season because he has not met expectations, been very disappointed. And one of the guys at the top of the list is Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher, though, put a lot of people at ease this past week right on this call-in show by saying, hey, I love it at Florida State. I'm only here a long, long time. And I'm going to read you one quote because I say the same thing. And this is from quarterback Matt Flynn, who, as you know, Seminole Bill, played for Les Miles and won a national championship with Les Miles. And Matt Flynn said, I don't think you should fire Les Miles for not meeting expectations. Yes, we're disappointed, but you have to remember, the reason for those high expectations is because of Les Miles. And by the way, be careful what you wish for, because it doesn't. There's not always greener on the other side. And Les Miles, Somerville, is my favorite college coach. And even though I love Florida State and I love Jimbo Fisher, I just love Les Miles. I think he's a class act through and through. And what's your thoughts on that situation?
Well, he is a fantastic coach. You know, people come to play for him and been there for, you know, right at 11 years. You know, the fervor right now is from a proud program that believes they should be beating Alabama. And that's, in a way, it's hard when the coach that used to coach you and, you know, was married to you before, and Nick Saban, you know, has, you know, left, went on his way, comes back, and now you face him every year with so much on the line. And I want to say, heard something thrown out there between, you know, between the Alabama, the Arkansas, and I think Ole Miss, over the past, seasons, he's 4-8 against those guys. And, that's tough. You know, he's lost, but you're, you know, when you're losing to perennially one of the best programs year in and year out in Alabama, that's in your division. I mean, I don't know what else you can say. I mean, he wins, you know, a tremendous amount of ball games. He's got a higher winning percentage right now than Nick Saban did when he was at LSU. So, you know, he's winning at least 10 ball games a year, almost every year.
He's taking you to the promised land, and you want it.
That's right.
Right?
It's hard.
And here's my question, Bill. Here's my thing. Is that go and show me where you have a guy that you feel is a can't-miss head coach that come into a program like that. I mean, go ahead and show me. That's what I'm saying. Matt Flynn's right. Be careful what you wish for. I think what they should be doing is let's smile some of the Bill. Tell me if you agree or disagree. Is, hey, Les, obviously we need to do something. Let's shake up the staff a little bit. What do you say to that? We want you running the program. You're the man, but, hey, we got to do something different. We're not developing quarterbacks for some reason.
That's a problem. Right? Yeah, that is a problem. Now, you know, over the years, you know, LSU has been known for outstanding defensive teams. They've been known for running backs, strong running backs, and usually being able to, you know, they give you a taste of the SEC, you know, wrapped up in a biscuit. Basically, they are you know, another one of those quality SEC teams that every year is going to be a tough, you know, tough game. But they just haven't been able to get over the hump. And the biggest problem that Les probably has, and most folks that talk about this, is he is probably not. I'm just going to say he is not someone that has endeared himself to some of the staff there, as others will say, like other coaches do it at certain universities. He doesn't have a lot of, he doesn't go out there and do all the big mixtures, the parties and everything. He's just not, you know, built that way. He spends time with family and all that too. But he is not one of those, you know, coaches that likes to go out there and run the booster route all the time. And then that is where probably the doors open to have just a small letdown in your season, and you got people ready pouncing you. But like you said, be careful what you wish for, because just because you may have enough money to pay his contract out doesn't mean that you're gonna, you know, hire the guy you're hoping to get, you know, or maybe you think you have in your back pocket in Mr. Jimbo Fisher. He has built.
No, that's not gonna happen.
No, he's built a program here. I mean, maybe years ago, you know, maybe years ago before
sure.
I was settled.
Sure.
But don't forget, yeah, he was on the staff at LSU and all that, but he was also, he grew up an FSU fan. He also worked with the Bowdens. He has a lot of ties here. He's built a program here second to really none. You can argue that.
You're right.
You know, I mean, this is a destination stop now because of Jimbo and the work done before him and Coach Bowden. But this is one of those top 10 jobs in football because you got facilities now, because everything he asked for, he got. You know, he went out there and told people why we need to do this. He got the facilities, you know, in all aspects, you know, aside from a very minimal things, he has pretty much gotten what he's wanted, and Seminole Nation has gotten behind him, and I think he feels indebted to them for that. You know, he's raised his kids here. You know, he's going, you know, everyone knows he's going through a situation now with his, private life. But, you know, he's got things in here in place for his son that's having all the battles with the
medical, yeah.
Yeah, with the disease. He's got a lot of things going here, and people have responded to him and gotten behind him, and I don't
including
know.
The five-star kids that he needs.
Absolutely. The next few years, I mean, it's going to be gravy train for him. So, I mean, what are you going to, you know, is it because you're going to pay him a few more $1 million? Do you think they're going to run to LSU because it's in the SEC? Look, he's got his pick of the crop here. He's built an SEC-like program right here in Tallahassee. He can recruit with the best of them. He gets, you know, five-star, four-star, you name it. Yeah, LSU's very deep in talent, but I don't think they're any more deep in talent than it is here.
Well, no, because Florida State's proven that right now by putting those players into the NFL last year, and it's only going to continue year after year after year. And with the quarterbacks, and let's be honest, I mean, you know, he's the quarterback guru guy, so he loves his quarterbacks. And with the guys that he has on staff right now, extremely excited about DeAndre Francois, the four-star kid from the IMG Academy last year. Plus, you know, you have Malik Henry coming in, another five-star kid at quarterback. You're just loaded. You have the third-ranked recruiting class for third or second this year. And then even for the next year, you already had, like, you have a top-10 recruiting class. I know it's real early, but still. He's not going anywhere because you said it, Seminole Bill, a minute ago. Everything he's asked for, he's gotten it. There's no frustration. There's nothing wrong. It's not like – you know what? I would agree if it was Florida State was undefeated and they didn't make the playoffs and he said, you know what, they're going to hold this against me no matter what I do because I'm in the ACC. But that's not the case.
No.
You win, you're in. So, you know, he's going to stay. All right, Seminole Bill, let's get on to the football field, okay?
Yep, let's go.
All right. Big old Ohio State lost last week, and it couldn't have made my day. Made my day, period. You know, it was fantastic. I loved it. And then Urban Meyer's team just starts falling apart off the field with Ezekiel Elliott saying stuff about him. Cardale Jones said, I'm out of here, too. But 8th-ranked Ohio State gets ready to take on Urban Meyer against Jim Harbaugh. Oh, my gosh. This is
Bowden
Spurrier back in the day.
Yeah.
That's what this is right here.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if it's even that because Harbaugh and Meyer seem like they're the same guy. Just Meyer cheats, and as of right now, I don't think Harbaugh does.
No.
I mean, that's the difference.
I will say this is going to be a great game. I mean, just the fact, all the hype because, you know, huge rivalry, tradition-rich rivalry, and now you bring two – you know, gangbuster type coaching minds against one another. I mean, this is what you look forward to on rivalry weekend, man. I can't wait. The Ohio State University, who plays that other team that they've never mentioned the first name, but Michigan, I think, I tell you right now, hey, you better be ready because Michigan's been bringing it, man. They really have, except for that, you know, little mess up. They've been bringing it.
But how about this? Let me tell you this, Seminole Bill. Would you ever thought that this game would be played with the point spread at even at the beginning of the year?
Man.
Is that incredible what Jim Harbaugh has done in 1 year?
He
is
a fine football coach and a fine football mind, and the kids love to play for that man. He knows what to say, what buttons to push, and how to motivate. And boy, I'm gonna tell you. Look out in the years ahead because he's going to, you know, Big Ten can be very proud of the fact that now they do have legitimately at least
they got three powerhouses.
Three or three powerhouse teams a year like every other conference has, one or two up there. Now they can be proud of that conference because it's going to elevate play in that conference. You know, you're going to want to go compete and be a part of that if you're, if you're up in that way or if you want to be a part of Big Ten football.
Yep, no, you're absolutely right. Who wins that football game?
I'm going Michigan. I think Ohio.
Me too.
I think the O is ripped in half right now by all the statements you're hearing. There's a lot of
I love it.
Diversity.
I love
man.
It.
It's a lot of diversity. It really is. And you can't play that way. Can't play that way.
No. You cannot. How about Clemson, South Carolina? I'm just kidding. I know who's going to kill. What's the final score? The final score in that game, Seminole Bill?
Clemson wins that one by about 30 points.
There you go.
Literally.
All right, listen, Seminole Bill, we're going to do something a little different this week. Usually, second segment, we immediately get into the Florida State game. We got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about some other college football games on Rivalry Week, and then we'll get into Florida State. Is that good?
Sounds good.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take a break. Folks, don't go anywhere. Florida State, Florida Talk coming up, plus other college football thoughts from Seminole Bill. All that coming up next right here on the Mark Lovett Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic one. Some of the Bills, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh, man. Yeah, you can't complain when you're at the house eating all the vittles of food that the missus cooks up. Yeah, it's all good.
Now, let me ask you a question. Does it have a Filipino twist to it because your wife's Filipino? I mean, my wife's Filipino as well, but we don't... I'm trying to think. We really don't have a Filipino
dish on that. No. We Thanksgiving. My wife is something special, of course. But Thanksgiving is a special day for her because that is when she really lets her guard down and just turkeys up. I'm telling you right now, she gets very, 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 very bent if we're not going to have a good turkey. And so
that's Petita. So does that mean there's pressure on you
to make sure that turkey gets to that table? Yes.
Okay, so there's some pressure on you, Seminole Bill.
But it keeps me on my toes, which is good, you know. I need that every now and then.
Yeah, no. That's always a good thing. Also, here's a good thing, Seminole Bill. 3:30 on Saturday, Penn State takes on Michigan State. And the reason I bring up this game, not necessarily it's a big rivalry, but, boy, Michigan State has a lot on the line. If Michigan State wins this game, they're going to be playing up against, most likely, Iowa if Iowa beats Nebraska. And Michigan State, I truly believe they control their own destiny to get into that Final Four. So it's a big game. Michigan State pulls it off, you think?
I think Michigan State wins the game. I mean, they're playing for like you just said, they're playing for something. And I really do. And like we said before, with Ohio State, I mean, there's a lot of divisiveness on that team right now. At least it seems that way. That doesn't bode
well. They're out of the picture. They have no chance. I love it.
Yeah,
they're done.
It's interesting how that works, huh?
Yeah, isn't it? It is amazing, week to week. All right, so Blue Bowl. Here's an interesting game, okay? North Carolina, who's not out of this whole playoff picture. I mean, they could turn this thing upside down, but they first have to get through their arch-rival NC State at Carter-Finley Stadium. And North Carolina is only favored by 5.5 points in this game. And North Carolina was in a dog fight last week. That proved to me when they beat Virginia Tech that they're a solid team because with Frank Beamer and everything going on, they hung in there. They won the game. Who wins this game, North Carolina at NC State?
North Carolina's going to win the game. They're too much vested in what's going on, man. They're ready. They probably, in a way, if you can believe this, may have been looking ahead to the game with their rival because they know that closes out and maybe didn't give Virginia Tech as much respect as they should have. But, you know, Frank Beamer, man, what can you say? He's a class act, you know, great coach. And, who wouldn't rise up and play 110% for a coach like that in his final home game. You know, good job by Virginia Tech. They made a game of that, made it close, and North Carolina dodges a bullet and knows that all they got to do is put their sights on the Wolfpack and get through them, and then they're on their way to an ACC championship game.
You're absolutely right. North Carolina wins that game. You know, real quick, there's no reason to ask you. Alabama at Auburn, even though it's at Auburn, Bama should just – I mean, Auburn is awful. They're just terrible. They have no chance of winning that game.
I'll give you a P.S. You know, I won't really say his name, but Roll Tide.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Roll Tide. All right, two last games I want to get your thoughts on that have playoff implications. Sixth-ranked Notre Dame on the road up against ninth-ranked Stanford. Big game. Notre Dame obviously has to win. And even with a win, they're on the outside looking into this playoff thing. I think no matter what, I don't see how they're going to squeak in there unless there's this absolute chaos. Who wins that game?
Well, I'm like you, and I think this is where the buck stops. I know Notre Dame's been able to get everything going for them, even in the worst scenarios. But Stanford, I think Stanford's going to have their number. I really do. Either way, like you said, unless it's just an absolute, if Notre Dame for some reason pulled out some blowout of a win over them, they might get some more consideration. But I think they're on the outside looking in too. And you know what? Get in the conference. Quit putting one foot on the land and one foot in the boat. Get in the boat with us and be in every sport so we can welcome you as a full member, Notre Dame. And then you might have some say-so in all this stuff going on. But until you do that, if it's more important to be on NBC's paycheck than being relevant for championships, which if you're Notre Dame, I can't believe anything's more important than winning championships. Get in the boat, Notre Dame. It's time. You know, we've been playing this game for years. You commit. We want you as part. You help the conference in many ways, and we can help you too, believe it or not.
You're absolutely right. All right, so but, you know what? Well, there's other games, but I need to get to the Florida State game. Giant game coming up. Florida State coming off with another nice victory, a blowout victory, which everybody thought Florida pulls out and lucks out and shouldn't have won that game against FAU. It was so Florida comes into this game stumbling, yet winning. Okay, there's no doubt about that. They're rivals, so anything is possible. But the role that Florida State has been in the state of Florida, Jimbo Fisher versus the state since 2010, is 13-1.
Yeah.
Against the Gators, with a win, he can go to 5-1 since 2010, and for the first time on a three-game winning streak in the Swamp. A win also would also tie the second-best run against the Gators, matching a 5-1 record from 98 to 2003. And obviously, they dominated the Hurricanes, too. But 13-1, they could go to 14-1. Counting other schools in the state of Florida, they could go to 17-1 at the end of this season if they're able to knock off the Florida Gators. So it's an unprecedented run right now, what's going on with Florida State against the state of Florida, Seminole Bill.
That's very impressive because usually, you know, at least back in the day, if you win the state of Florida, you have a chance to be playing for a national title. This year is a little bit different for us, obviously, for the Seminoles, but they're coming in with something to play for. These seniors are on, again, as you mentioned, pretty much an unprecedented run as well because they have a chance to go out if they went out as the winningest. Well, I think if they win this one, they would at least tie, or I'm trying to remember if they're tying it or going ahead of it. But I know they have an opportunity, as the senior class does, to be the winningest group, recruited group, the FSU's ever had, which is just amazing to me. I mean, we do have maybe another extra game or two in there now than maybe we used to. But just that's phenomenal to be able to go out and say we were the winningest group of seniors that FSU has ever known. That's a lot to be playing for, given all the great players that have come through these halls, if you will, this football field. So they do have the shot at doing that. And I believe the DC factor is huge. Dalvin Cook is the one X factor that. The best X factor of both teams. Defense for the Gators, they're great. We know that. They're solid. But
they're banged up.
Yeah, they are banged up.
They can be beaten. They are hurting. And you know, Brantley or Bullard, well, I can't remember which one. One of them is banged up bad. Well, they're both banged up some, but one of them is banged up bad. And they said he most likely won't play yet. He's been out there practicing a little bit. So I think Florida State is preparing for him. But their defensive line is really good. Their linebackers are solid, and their secondary is excellent. So Florida State's offensive line, much like when they faced Clemson, Seminole Bill, I kind of see it has Florida State taken on that defense? And it's one of those things where the offensive line has to play okay again. They can't have, you know, these games that they're that so inconsistent. They have to play good football. Once again, not great, because Cook only needs good from you. Cook needs good, and he's going to bust off a long play because nobody on Florida is going to catch him either. And that's what he needs. And Sean McGuire needs a little bit of time to throw a few passes, but he's got to be careful not to throw any picks to set up a horrible Florida offense. Florida's offense is downright bad, period. The offensive line against FAU looked like the worst offensive line in the country. Treyon Harris was running for his life constantly, and he's not exactly Jameis Winston back there. So he's a shaky quarterback as is, plus he's running for his life. They don't really have a great running game. So they struggle on offense. That's why I'm saying the key to me in this game, Florida State wins this game if they do not turn the ball over and give Florida a short field to work with and put that pressure on Florida State's defense, Seminole Bill.
Great, I agree with you. The other part that goes along with it is, again, Florida playing at Florida Field is a challenging task in itself. You can't have penalties. Can't have those turnovers, like you said. We need to make sure we're solid on that. But as you mentioned, their offense is nothing to write home about. They rely on their defense to set them up because you know they don't typically drive the field. FSU in my analogy, FSU wins it by about 10 points. But that's just me.
So 10 points. I got them. You know what? That's a good. I'm thinking 7 points. Florida State pulls out the victory, and this is what's interesting, Senator Bill. The point spread came out at Florida -2.5, -3. Florida State is now favored by 3 points in this football game.
It is. Well,
that is a giant swing. And here's one thing. If I get rid of Cook, give me two players on Florida State outside of Dalvin Cook that you feel need to have, I'm not going to say a big game, I always hate saying that, but you need to hear their name called a lot. And if you do, you know things are going right for Florida State if you hear their names called several times throughout.
I'll give you two. I think on offense, okay. Kermit and Bobo have been, you know, filling in, but I think we need to hear Rudolph's name this one, because he's going to he's a good size receiver. We need that size. The other two guys are going to be blanking pretty well. Kermit's got speed. The other one, I think, if we hear a lot of Josh Sweat, I'd like to hear his name called, because if he's on Treyon Harris and Harris is not going to run away from him like he did with some of these other guys, that means that you know, We're keeping Florida off the board. And last but not least, I'll throw in a third one that's important. Aguayo. I'll tell you why. Because if we can't get touchdowns, we've got to get points. They don't have the benefit of a good kicker right now. You know
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
And that's
right.
Going to be a huge part of – the third part of the game is going to be huge this week. Punting and kicking is going to be very important this week.
Yeah, you know what, Somerville? We should – shame on me for not thinking of Aguayo. Because you are absolutely right. 3 points, 6 points, those points are so valuable. And people might say, we know that, Mark. Points are always valuable. But there's different – it's extremely important because you mentioned it earlier, Florida State being on the road. And on top of that, with Florida struggling kicking field goals, you know, that could be, you know, the difference in this football game is that maybe Florida's defense is very good. And we all know Florida State struggles in the red zone. Right. So if FSU gets down there, they're going to need to kick some field goals. So that comes into play. This could be a 9-7 game, Senator Bill, with Florida State winning on 3 field goals by Aguayo. The only thing, the difference is, though, is I think, once again, I feel it's impossible to keep Cook out of the end zone.
I agree with
He's
you.
Going to break
He's
something long.
Down.
He just is. He always does. He'll run a 30 or 40 yard touchdown. It happens like clockwork, and no matter who he's played, or how fast they are, or how great they are, or how many NFL players they have on the defense, he continues to meet our expectations and breaks one.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is against the Gators, and you know that he was recruited heavily by them. So, he'll want
he committed to him at one point.
Yeah, right. He'll want to put a stamp on this one, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. All right, Senator Bill, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we need to get into the Mark Lloyd's locker room report of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because don't look now, or if you're a Buccaneer fan, go ahead and look now. But the Bucs are in the playoff hunt. Huh? We'll get into that when we come back, right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of the Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for the Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Hello there, Bucs fans. As we say in this area, hashtag blame Jameis. It's time to head to Mark Lloyd's locker for the Bucs report right here on Freedom 93 FM.
Thank you very much, Seminole Bill. I love that. Hashtag blame Jameis for putting your team in contention for the first time since 2007 as you vie for a possible playoff berth. Yes, Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans. Now you could tell all the critics out there that were criticizing Jameis after the first game, instead of eating crow in honor of Thanksgiving, they could eat turkey, Senator Bill, correct?
Bring it with the beat.
Yes, absolutely right. The Bucs are 5-5, coming off a blowout victory of Chip Kelly's Philadelphia Eagles, which I loved every minute of it, and now they get ready to take on the Colts on the road, and the winner will improve to 6-5. Tampa Bay, they haven't had a winning record this late, Seminole Bill, in the season in 3 years. The Buccaneers' first playoff berth since 2007, as I just mentioned, is within reach. And, you know, it's not just me saying it, but it's all because of that quarterback back there. And it doesn't hurt that Doug Martin is running like a wild man right now. But Winston last week made the right decisions. He has not had a turnover for the fifth time in six games, and he threw five touchdown passes last week, Bill.
Yeah,
how happy were you, and how impressed were you?
QB tie-in record right there, man.
Are you kidding me?
And the Bucs as a team now, first time, and I'm trying to remember how long they've won back-to-back. It sounds crazy to say that they haven't won back-to-back games, but this was the first time in so many – I can't get the quote right, but I just remember hearing that and thinking, wow, it didn't dawn on me just for them to win back-to-back. How crazy is that? Buck fans, you got to be really happy right now. This is exactly what you wanted to see. Young team gelling, coming together, great locker room speeches, great unity. They're building something not just for the now but for the future. And Evan, when he got his hands on the balls this time, he caught them and made the most of it. He had a great game.
You're still on my thunder, Silver Bill. I was just about to say that. You know what I really noticed from this game? What I noticed from this game was the first time this season the wide receivers were really just snatching the ball and helping Jameis out.
Yeah.
Because he has the guts. And you mentioned this early on, some of the, you mentioned this, you know, 3 years ago with Winston back in college, that he has the guts. He has the gonads to throw the football where a lot of people might be nervous because he's confident, not cocky. He's confident. He's confident in his arm. He's confident in his ability to study the defenders, and then he has confidence in his receivers that they're going to be exactly where it needs to be at that precise moment. Well, he's done that a few times this year, and they weren't there or they dropped him. And then at this point, at this level, man, this early in his career, he's not always going to be spot on, but he's still going to have the guts to make those throws. And what he needs you, the veteran wide receivers, or the second-year wide receiver, to help him out. And that's exactly what Evans did, and you mentioned it. That's exactly what Charles Sims did. That's exactly what that tight end did. The dude out of Harvard, I can't think, Crater, I think his name was. That's what Vincent Jackson did. That's what Adam Humphrey did. You know, they made some plays where maybe the ball wasn't perfect, but still, it took guts to throw the football there. And that's what Tampa needs. If he's throwing it, then Doug Martin's running better. If Doug Martin's running better, then Jameis Winston is throwing the ball better. Am I right?
It worked hand in hand. And you know, he threw those five touchdowns to five different receivers, and the fact that he had Vince back, I think, was huge. He got one of, you know, I think I heard the interview with him when he was saying that he had just gotten word the night before or the day before that he was, you know, cleared and he was ready to play, and he was really ecstatic that he was there because it makes a big difference to have, you know, you can live off a meat cleaver, you can live off a knife, but you need all your cutlery in the block to be able to really run that offense, man. You know, you really need that stuff. It's hard enough as a rookie quarterback. Now you got your weapons back and the right utensils, man. You can really make a turkey look good, you know?
Yes, there's no doubt about
offense,
that.
No offense, not
and you know
about the turkey. but that thing on the plate, you know what I'm saying? It looks really nice if it's carved right. Yeah.
The one that you have all the pressure on you to make sure that it's perfect. Yeah,
yes.
That one, that turkey you're talking about. But you know what some of those two that jumped out at me was with Lavonte David finally kind of played. I mean, he had two interceptions last week. He returned one for a touchdown. But David has had a solid year, but he's not had a Pro Bowl year, I guess you could say.
Right.
But last week he really stepped his game up. And if the defense... if they could start feeding off of each other, the defense and the offense, led by Lovie Smith, who at times seems lost, and at times he's a great coach, so I really don't know what to make of him once in a while. But the bottom line is that if they could feed off each other, then they have great things to come for this season. And if they can go on the road and pull off this victory against the Colts team that's starting Matt Hasselbeck,
right,
who, by the way, Winston's the youngest quarterback in the NFL, and Hasselbeck is the oldest quarterback in the NFL. How about that?
It's going to be a fun game to watch, man. It really will.
All right, prediction time, Simba Bill. Who wins?
Let's go Bucs, man. Let's ride the train a little bit further. We've come this far. Let's just keep it going. I think the Bucs can take it by four.
Bucs take it by four, and they improve to 6-5 on the season then if they pull off the victory. And they are just inching closer because, remember, Simba Bill, the Falcons are sputtering a little bit right now in their division, and the Bucs have defeated the Falcons, so they have that game up on them if it comes
right
to a tiebreaker. So it's very important for the Bucs to continue to move along, but it's also very important for them to win their divisional games down the road. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, our final segment on this post-Thanksgiving edition of the Mark Lloyd Show, we're going to talk some more Pigskin, some other games in the NFL, get similar bills, thoughts on them, some of the big games that are out there, plus our water check, our fitness tip, and, of course, our entertainment segment, a little Walking Dead action, and what really happened to one of the main characters after all was revealed this past week. We'll get into it. All that coming up next, right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Final segment here, but it's a dandy, that's for sure. No time to mess around. Let's get right into it. Our water tech seminal bill. You know as well as I do, and Tom Nasera, it's always important to drink a lot of water every single day. We try to drink a gallon, and we always do a little water check. Who is taking in the most fluids, water that is? And Tom Nasera knows that finally a year later, not all of the kind of liquids. But water, that is, in a 24-hour period, I am at 132 ounces. So I'm kind of my normal average right now, which I'm happy with. So, Bill, where are you?
I'm at the 124, man. Just a little bit shy.
124. Very good. Very good. You're still dropping some LBs, too, aren't you?
Doing it. Yes, sir.
Good job. Excellent job. Tom Nasera, how are you hanging?
Last week I was at a million, so I'm at 120.
Where? You're at 120?
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
Is good.
Are
you,
nothing
you're
wrong
not,
with
you're
that.
Not counting the water in the gravy, right?
Oh, Lord.
No,
okay.
Okay.
We want to make sure we keep it honest.
Bill, that wasn't the issue. The issue was with the beverages that he counted as water that were 21 and older. That's the only way you could buy them. That was the problem.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Jeez. Yeah, that was. We've never had a problem with a food and water with Terminus, but it was always does that count? No, that doesn't count, Terminus, Eric. If you have to show your license to buy the drink, it doesn't count, put it that way. Also, we have our fitness tip at Similar Bill. You know what this is? This is one of those weeks on the fitness tip where it's important to rest some. And all kidding aside, sometimes if you're exercising and you're consistent, it's good to give the body a little bit of a rest. So the fitness tip this week is, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving, and just enjoy yourself for a few days. Don't stress about getting out there and burning calories. Just sit back and watch football. Is that okay, Simba Bill? Can I do that? Is that allowed?
You are a very wise man, because my old weight training coach, way back in the day when I had a weight training coach, always said,
yes,
girls and guys, it ain't about trying to lose weight between Thanksgiving and Christmas. You lose your weight between Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Very good. Very good. I agree 100%. You got to enjoy yourself. That's what life's all about. All right, so let's get into some big NFL games. And I'm going to mention this one because it's important for the Buccaneer fans now. And that's Minnesota traveling to take on Atlanta, who's at 6-4 now. The Vikings are at 7-3. The Vikings coming off a loss, but they've had a solid year so far, led by Teddy Bridgewater. Who wins this game? The Falcons are only favored by 1 point, and they're at home. Does Minnesota do a favor for the Bucs and knock off the Falcons?
That's a great game. What is the statistic going with the Devontae? Because he had concussion protocol going. Is he coming back?
Yeah, I don't know yet.
That decision, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I think
I don't remember seeing him listed. How they listed him, whether it was a maybe or probable. But, you know, this is tough. I mean, he you can see that it hurts when they don't have one of their quality running backs. And Devontae, you know, really was replacing somebody else when he got his start. I say they bounce back. I don't see that. Atlanta does have that ability. They know that they have to right now stick their foot in the ground like a good running back and cut it up. They need this win very bad, especially at home. They got to have it against the Vikings. I think they win this game and maybe by a field goal. Maybe regardless of whether Devontae plays, I think they win by a field goal.
Right. You think they pull it off? Okay, excellent. Three other games, simple to build. Then we get to our entertainment segment. But the Dolphins are clinging for their life to try to get into the playoffs. They're 4-6, right? They're going up against the 5-5 Jets. They're on the road. Who wins this game? The Jets are favored by 3.5 points here. And for both teams, if they have any playoff aspirations, they have to win. So it's a must-win for both.
Yeah, it's going to be the Jets, unfortunately. I think the Dolphins are running out of sin right now. They're kind of struggling. So the Jets should defend their home turf and win this ballgame.
The Jets come out on top from Simonville. All right, Simonville, I'm going to go right after your heart here, brother. Sunday, Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Seattle. Roethlisberger, is he playing? Is futsal swollen up? Who knows what goes on with the quarterback situation there? And Seattle's not the team. They have all kinds of issues, but the Steelers are trying to make the playoffs. They're 6-4, obviously in the playoff hunt. The Seahawks are pretty much eliminated at 5-5. I say that because, well, I shouldn't. They're holding out hopes to make the playoffs too. It's going to be a long shot, but because of the division, who wins this game? Steelers? Do they knock off Seattle at home?
Just like the turkey, stick a fork in Seattle. I think they're done. I really do.
Ooh, I'd love to see that.
Pittsburgh's going to bring it, and they know they're. You know, Pittsburgh's one of those teams in the past that when they have to win, you know, they start making their run, and I don't see that being any different this year.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Steelers, it's weird. Yeah, they get on that run, and they're like the Giants once in a while, right?
Yeah, they roll, they
and they get
rolling.
On that run, and next thing you know, they're in the playoffs, and next thing you know, they're in the Super Bowl and winning. Boom.
Right. Right.
Okay, how about this matchup? How about this matchup? Sunday night, we are in for a treat, my friend. 10-0 New England travels to take on 8-2 Denver.
Wow.
Denver, who is now led by Brock Osweiler because of Peyton Manning being injured. But Osweiler won his first game last week, Brock did, over the Chicago Bears, and it was a very good Chicago Bears team. A Bears team that's been playing well. Does New England stay undefeated and move to 11-0 and hold that title possibly with Carolina? Because those are only two undefeated
teams
left.
You know how I feel about New England. I feel about New England almost like one of our Corso feels about those putting that duck headgear on, you know, in Oregon. But
gotcha.
I'll use to borrow a phrase, not so fast, my friends, because
ooh,
there's a Brock at the helm, and even though it's not Peyton running the show, these Denver Broncos, they want to be the ones to knock off New England, and they want to do
it. And their defense is good,
their
man.
Their defense is solid, dude. And they're at home, at Mile High. Do we have a Bronco headgear anywhere? They can't see me.
Oh,
I'm taking
look at
Denver
you.
In the upset.
No!
Yes.
You're going to take Denver.
Yes,
how about that?
Mm-hmm. We'll
how about that? Denver to knock off New England. Wow. Well, that would be something, but I'm not going to say it's far-fetched at all because Denver's defense is truly that good. And one thing, that's the way you beat, you got to put pressure on Brady. You have to put the pressure on him, and hopefully that you pull it out. All right, Simon DeBell, good predictions with the NFL. Let's get to our entertainment segment. Trevor and Sarah can jump in here. The big talk this week, obviously, was were we going to find out what happened to Glenn? Is he really dead? Is he not dead? What's the situation? And the situation is, Terminus?
He's alive.
He is alive.
He is.
Absolutely right. Guys, are you ready for this? So we record it, and then we start watching it like 15 or 20 minutes into it because of the commercials.
Same, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, but here's, are you ready for this? So I'm controlling it. There's like 7 of us over. And I pause it. And so it's recorded, but I also paused it because they have to, whatever. And then I go to hit play, and it's not playing.
Oh, no.
And then I hit something else, and it went to the instant time that the show was on.
Oh, no.
So it, like, jumped right to it. and we instantly saw Glenn, and everybody went, not everybody, the girls all went jumping crazy, screaming, so happy that he's alive. And then everybody turned around and looked at me and said, I can't believe you just did that. I can't believe we felt that way. And they're all yelling at me because I messed up. But bottom line is that Glenn climbed under the dumpster like a lot of us thought. And so he is alive.
Yes.
Were you guys shocked?
No. No, I wasn't shocked.
Me neither.
And I don't think Thomas was shocked.
Me neither. But that was not him. That was not him on that walkie-talkie.
No, that's what I was going to say to Terminus. We didn't find out our answer yet on that. Now that we know it's not Glenn, have we revised our opinions as to who it could be?
Terminus, who do you think it's in? Who do you think that is on the other end of that walkie-talkie?
I literally have no idea, because I think right now all the characters are accounted for.
They are accounted for. That is correct. So now that's good. That's good elimination. So now we go down to only two groups, right? Two groups. It's either the Wolves or it's that other group.
Mystery Meat. Yeah. Who is it?
Yeah. Or it's that three. There's three people or two left because the daughter got killed. But it's that guy. It's the people that stole Daryl's stuff that maybe they grabbed his walkie-talkie. I don't know. Yeah. So there's speculation there. All right. Now let's talk more about the episode. So we find out that Glenn's alive. Let me get your thoughts. Do you think that boy was going to shoot Carl?
Yeah, you know, that's one thing that was running through my mind as to him being so eager to train, and now he's gone out and, you know, got some bullets, and, you know, it looks like bad.
And he was walking up behind him.
Right.
And he went to grab his thing. Do you think he was going to kill Carl?
It looked pretty bad, man. Would they off the young kid like that? I don't know.
So, Terminus, you know what, though? We can't put it past this. We cannot put it past The Walking Dead. Do you think that's the mid-season finale shocker?
I don't know. I know this next episode is going to be crazy. But he had already pulled out the gun, and he had it in his hand. So,
I was actually nervous for Carl. I thought, wow, they're going to get rid of him. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. But then the wall falls down
right from
that tower. So, oh, Lord, all the walkers are coming in now. And I don't know how you even begin to speculate what's going to happen. How many are going to die? How many people in Alexandria are going to die? How can they ever build the wall back up to keep everybody back out that fast with so many of them out there? I don't know what the game plan must be. Leave Alexandria.
Well, it's either that or somebody that's out there, when they come back and see what's going on, are going to have to create a diversion again. But why would – that's the one thing you don't understand about The Walking Dead sometimes is the noise draws them two things. But what if you have all this stuff going on at one time? You know, where are their sites going to be? And I guess maybe that's what we're going to find out.
That's right. So you have Glenn and that girl on the outside trying to get in. You have Maggie, Rick, and everybody on the inside.
Yeah, but you still have the other guys. What about the other guys?
You mentioned the diversion. That's right. So, you guys, real quick, I know we got to get out. Terminus, how long do we have?
Like, not enough time. Okay,
not enough time. All right. Well, we'll find out. Mid-season finale coming up tomorrow night, so I'm looking forward to that. Hey, guys, I'm glad you had a fantastic Thanksgiving dinner. We look forward to a great day of college football. And most importantly, we look forward to a Florida State victory over the Florida Gators. Right, Seminole Bill?
That's what we want, to make Thanksgiving weekend all that much better.
Absolutely. All right, for Terminus Eric and Seminole Bill, I'm Mark Lloyd. As always, thanks for hanging with us. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Go Noles!